Take your Bibles. We're going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And we're going to be reading verses 12 through 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. And we'll read these responsively. I'll read the even verses if you'll read the odd verses out loud with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. The Bible says this, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I commune with mine own heart, saying, Lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this is also is vexation of spirit. And the last verse we'll read, For in much wisdom is much grief. For he and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. And let's pray. God, we do thank you so much, Lord, for the Bible. I thank you for the way by which we should live that you've lined out for us. Lord, yes, it's a life that we have here. Everybody has different circumstances, but yet we are still supposed to serve you. And Lord, you are such a wonderful Savior that we have. Help us, Lord, to learn something more about your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open. I thought of using this for one of our Wednesday night studies, but I thought it more appropriate to use as a sermon on a Sunday, and I want to help you tonight. Here, as all of the Bible, and let me just say this, the Bible is God's words, not man's words. These are the words given by God. And if we're not careful, sometimes we give too much credit to people who penned scripture and say, well, they said, this isn't Solomon speaking, this is God speaking. But God sometimes allowed conversations to take place in scripture. I believe that's partly what this is, God and Solomon speaking. And God says, Solomon, I want you to write what you and I talked about. Solomon is not a young man here in Ecclesiastes. He's an old man. At least 57. But as you read it, and I think sometimes we just read words and we're not cautious how we read. As you read it, Solomon's a bit grumpy. Listen to what he says. I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail. That doesn't sound like he's having a good time, does it? Hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised? I've seen all the works that are done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And as he goes through this, he's talking about all the things he has seen, he has done, he's experienced, all the wealth. And he said, what good is it? What good is it? It's all vanity. All vexation of spirit. Later in Ecclesiastes, there's a statement used, the fool dies as the rich man, and the rich man as the fool. Whether you have a lot or little, we're all facing death. And once you die, it's gone. So what good was doing all of that? And Solomon gets a bit soured. He has seen great success. He has seen great wealth. He has seen an unbelievable, he was worth over $1 trillion in today's economy. We have to understand something. Here's a man that God gave wisdom and stature and wealth beyond measure. And he says, what good is it all? Now, you young people will agree with the statement. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Seems like the more you know, the more sorrowful you get. I want to help you tonight. As we grow older, we gain experience. Some are good experiences, others are not. As we grow older and we gain wisdom, it's easy to get impatient with people that don't know what we know. For instance, you remember when you were 15 learning to drive? Yeah, long time ago. Now, your impatience, because you've got so many years experience. My wife will tell you I'm a lousy front seat rider. 2 months. 2 months. She had to put up with me. I'm not used to all the angles being on the wrong side. I'm not used to her responses not being exactly when mine would be. And I'm not real good about keeping my mouth shut when they're not. Yeah. There's nobody in the world happier that I'm driving right now than my wife. We made it all the way to Kentucky and back and are still married and talking to one another. I was real proud of myself. Yeah. She put her earplugs in, took her hearing aids out, but that's all right. Now, as I get older, it's easier to get impatient with young people. That's why grandparents shouldn't raise grandkids. We don't have the patience we did. That's why older people don't do well working with younger people, getting locked in a room with them. Or as my son would say, grandmas shouldn't be teachers in schools. Because they're just not ready. They don't have the tolerance. Or they tolerate too much and won't correct. It goes either way. Now, I remember my teen years. I remember being a teenager. I remember being a youth director. I was a youth director in 1, 2, 3 different churches. I've worked with tens and hundreds of thousands of teenagers. I love being around young people, just not too long anymore. They wear me out too fast. Now, wait a minute. I can get real impatient with them because I see the end of their decision before they've made their decision. I've helped thousands of people make the very same decisions they face, and if they don't make it right, I get impatient. And I have to guard myself. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
As my children grew and became teenagers and then college age and then adults and married and off doing adult life, and I married 2 of them. The other one, he's still playing in the Air Force. He's too busy to get married. Now, wait a second. If I'm not careful, though, listen to this. I'll try to still be daddy to grown kids that have their own kids. That's not my job. I don't answer to God for how they live their life right now. Everybody doing okay? Now, I love it when my son-in-law calls me. Dad, got a question. He had a huge opportunity in the last couple weeks. And matter of fact, he's taken the opportunity. And he's getting a new job. He's getting about somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 70% increase in pay. With an opportunity to move up into a vice presidency in the company eventually. He said, Dad, what do you think? I said, did you shake the man's hand and say yes? I said, Michael, you've done all the things to get you to where you are. I said, there's nothing wrong with it. Then I called him back the next day and I said, I want you to think about something. What you do with it, your business. I'm just going to talk to you as dad for a second. And I talked to him about had to start putting money aside right now so that by the time he retired, he would have quite a big nest egg and not use all the money that he has in his bonuses, bank his bonuses. He'll be worth millions by the time he retires. And I said, do you realize? And I showed him how that in 1 year, if he left it for 40 years, what it would be. He's like, oof. I said, this is part of the calculation of deciding for this job. Now, wait a minute. That only comes because I'm old.
Amen.
Been down the road with this a lot. Say, is he going to do it? Listen to this statement. Not my business. I'll never ask him a question about it. I told him that when we were done. I said, I'll never ask you a question about this. I'm just throwing a suggestion to you. What he does with it, his business, not mine. Everybody doing okay? Now, you have to understand something. Wisdom wants to control. I tell people this all the time. Miss Paula started soul winning, and she got to a point where she was almost discouraged because people would say no. She said, I just can't figure that out. I said, good. But don't let that stop you. Just because you want something for somebody more than they want it doesn't mean we shouldn't keep doing it. You know, I want more for people than they want for themselves. I really do. The older you get, the less patient with kids you are. That's why God gives them to you when you're young. It's not an old people sport. You know, I kind of laugh about Abraham and Sarah when she was 90 having a kid. Amen, Brother James? Can you imagine having a baby in 7 years? That's not an old person sport, amen? That's not something that's normal. Now, you can decide what old is, not me, all right? I don't want my wisdom to cause me to become impatient. I don't want my wisdom to cause me to become grumpy with people. I don't want my wisdom to come across as souring to people. And if we're not careful, we can be that grumpy old coot snapping at everybody because nobody does what you want it done. I want you to listen to me tonight very carefully, and I think I can help you. Number one, don't assume that everyone thinks exactly the way you think. I know that's hard to believe. Yeah. Can I tell you something? God didn't make us to be robots. God did not make you with a hard drive memory that keeps repeating the same thing over and over and over again. Brother Anthony and I think differently. That's why we work together. I hired a young man who's strong in areas I'm not as strong. Mrs. Barnes is strong in areas that I'm not strong, called a computer. I don't even have one. Now, wait a minute. He's very strong in music. He's very strong in some other areas that he and I know about. But I'm not as strong in those areas as he is. But nobody knows the whole work like I do. Miss Beatrice is in the school, and she's dynamite. She's got strength that if you've not seen her in the school, you don't understand her strength. That's somebody that's tried and tested it. Amen. Now, wait a second. But at the same time, she doesn't know how to pastor the church. But I don't expect her to understand the entire ministry the way I do. Say why? Because that's my strength. I think globally about the whole thing, not one part of it. You see, not everyone was trained the way you were trained by whom you were trained, and where you were trained. Everybody doing okay? Quit expecting everybody to think the way you think. I'm going to meddle for a second. I've said this a few times in the last couple months. Men and women don't think the same. That's obvious. Amen. But I get a little tired of men expecting their wife to think like a man. That's a bit on the homosexual side. Amen. I don't want my wife to think like a man. I didn't marry her to think like a man. Everybody doing okay? If you're not careful, you're guilty as the people you're upset with, called the sodomites. But you're expecting everybody to have the same thinking you have. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. No pun intended. God made us different on purpose. Let's not assume everybody knows everything the way we know it. Brother Steve, you and I went to Bible college together. You know, I don't expect him to know what I know. Say, why? Because we've had 35 years different apart from one another, different training. And we still have some commonality in our foundation. Everybody doing okay? But I don't expect him to think like I think. I dead sure, come on up here, don't expect this young whippersnapper to think like I think. Yes. But by the way, I told him if he came here to work, I'd put everything I could into him so that as he helps people, he's farther ahead than most people his age. I've brought him into my office and spent hours explaining situations, how to counsel, how to fix it. Say, why? Because one day God's going to use him to help all these people. I feel like I owe it to him. And it's not stuff you get in a book at college. Thank you. But before I left to go preach at college, I sat down and spent time with him about what they need at the college where he graduated. Say, why? Because he has an understanding of things there that I don't. Are you doing okay? Maybe we ought not get so sour to think, well, I know it and I can just go do my... Yeah, and that's why nobody wants to hear what you have to say. People your age... Okay, I'm 57 years old. There's people my age that act like a bunch of stupid teenagers. You know what I'm talking about. These guys in their 50s and 60s got the long hippie hair, got it painted 13 different colors. They think they're 17 again. Do they not realize how much is hanging over that bike? They are not quite as cool as they think they are. And when they put it down, not if, when they put it down, they don't bounce up like they did 30 and 40 years ago. Especially if they fall out of a tree stand, amen? Now wait a second here. Maybe we ought to realize just because somebody has age, it doesn't mean anything. Please don't take this the wrong way. This young man will never hear me call him dumb, ignorant, stupid, or anything like that if he doesn't know something. If I didn't teach him, it's my fault. Did you hear that? If I didn't teach him, he's made some mistakes. And I've said, not your fault. I've called him into the office and said, we have a problem, but I want you to know something. It's my fault, not yours. Just happened to fall under you, but I didn't teach you how to avoid this. And this is my fault. You've heard me say that several times. Nothing major, but just not quite where we would want it. It's not his fault. I didn't teach him. I may have assumed he knew what I knew. Well, there's no way he could because he hasn't gone through what I've gone through. Everybody doing okay? I don't expect people to think exactly the way I think. That is a good thing in many cases. Number two, I gotta hurry. Realize, okay, everybody look at me. I love you. This one's gonna hurt. Realize that how you do something isn't the only way to do it. Ouch. Now I'm meddling. Did you realize there's more than one way to do things right most of the time? Did you realize I can get to your house half a dozen different ways? You may not choose the way I choose, but I'll still end up at the same place. Just because I don't take the route you take doesn't mean I took a wrong route. Everybody doing okay? So why should I criticize somebody? You see, some things can be done differently and not be wrong. I gotta keep going here. There's so much I want to say right there. Sometimes you have to allow people to mess up, to learn. Did you know in school, there's a reason there's a grading scale, and it's not 100% or F? Now, too many people lean to the other side of that. That's why in our school, we bumped it up, and 80 is passing, 79 is failing. Say, why? Because I expect more out of our kids so that they can get more. But sometimes you have to allow somebody to make a mistake before you fix the mistake. I remember my dad one time looked at me and said, son, you sure you want to do it that way? Yep. Okay. It didn't work out quite the way I thought. Went back and he said, I could have told you it wasn't going to work. Well, how come he didn't? Because I asked you, were you sure? Old illustration, still true. My brother rebuilt one of those old lawnmower engines. You remember the kind you used to crank? And you push the little button and it would go. Instead of pulling a cord, it had a crank on that thing, spring-loaded. Lee had rebuilt the thing. Had a magneto on it and points and all that kind of stuff. Well, they had it sitting on a board over 2 5-gallon buckets. And the last thing my dad said was, don't touch that thing. Well, shoot, every kid in the world knows what that means. Go touch it. Now it's out there, click, 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 click. And there's only so many click, 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 clicks till you can't click anymore. So what do? You push the button. They didn't tell me they got that thing running. That thing come roaring to life. I said, uh-oh. I'm fixing to get in a lot of trouble. Well, I'd seen my brother, seen my dad take a screwdriver and pull that plug wire. Well, I didn't have a screwdriver, but I pulled the plug wire. And it pulled back. I don't know how many flips I did. I got it off. I remember laying on the ground going, yeah! My dad come crashing through the door. My mom come crashing behind him. My dad took one look at me. She said, are you good at paddling? He said, I think you got a worse beating than I could ever give him. I'll be honest with you. I still hate electricity. I don't even buy wire at the store. I'll call somebody else to buy the wire. I ain't touching it. I hate electricity. Now, wait a second. Sometimes you learn the hard way. But a wise person doesn't choose to learn the hard way. Let me give you a bit of advice. Experience is not the best teacher. Amen. Somebody else's experience is. There you go. I don't have to get drunk to say being drunk is stupid. Amen. I don't have to take drugs to say taking drugs is stupid. Right. I don't have to get involved in multiple relationships that are illicit to say that's not the way to live. Amen. You see, somebody else's experience is a better teacher if you listen. My dad used to say, a lazy man works twice as hard. Because they'll never do it right the first time, and they got to do it over. Boy, isn't that the truth? I'll take the little extra time to get it right and do it right the first time so I don't have to do it again. It's frustrating to know you know what to do and watch people mess up. Oh, Brother Steve, you and I have been through many of those situations in recent months. Knowing what could be done and people choose to go the wrong route is very frustrating. May I vent for just a second as preacher? I can put my heart and soul into preaching a sermon. People won't show up. They'll call me the next week and say, preacher, I got a problem. And I want to say, if you just showed up at church last Sunday, I just preached on it. That's what I want to say. I don't say I did it. I say, what do you do? I go, let me help you. That's what I do. The answer was here. They didn't show up for it. Everybody doing okay? It gets frustrating. Maybe if they'd listen to somebody that's watched people best their lives up for 3.5-4 decades, they'd listen so they don't mess their life up. Amen. But you also have to understand something. Wyatt's generation and this younger generation knows things differently than we did when I was his age. We didn't have computers. We didn't have cell phones. Shut up. We didn't even have CD players. Right. We had records and tapes. Amen. 8-track. Getting down to where some of you live. Now, wait a minute. I still have cassettes in my office that I play. I still have a long play album from General MacArthur before Congress. It's in my office. But isn't it amazing? We had one phone in the house. It was attached to the kitchen wall with one of those curlicue little doojiggers. And you only had a range far enough to get, as long as you could stretch that thing, if you stretched it too far, it came unplugged. Oh, wait a minute. There was no such thing as a cell phone. That was one of those things that you saw in a movie somewhere that somebody was talking in a shoe phone. Sci-fi. Little did we know it was going to be real. I mean, I remember when they put a calculator on a watch and they outlawed those at school. The numbers were so small you couldn't push them anyway. But I remember calculating. I remember when you got old enough, you had to get a calculator for math. Now, you were in algebras and geometries and different things at that point in time. And my dad would say, what do you mean you could take a calculator to school? That's cheating. Y'all know how to do that without one. Yeah, he did. But it was a different generation. We have to understand something. There's a different level of knowledge of different things coming through the ranks. It doesn't mean they're smarter. It just means there's more information available faster. By the way, not all of it is right information either. Amen. I remember having to do research projects and you had to go to the library and actually check books out or stay there because you weren't allowed to check those books out and write and write and write and write and spend hours at the stupid library. You couldn't even take those books home. Now all you do is ask Siri on your phone, and they pull it up, and you copy it from your phone and call it your work. Ouch. I remember having to learn to read a map. You ought to have seen it. When my wife and I got married, the year after we got married, she graduated, God sent us to Long Beach, California. The map for L.A. County, the map book is that thick. And you had to look up a street and an address, and it would tell you what page numbers. And then each one of those showed you the previous page on how to map yourself to get there. You'd end up with 20 or 30 pages if you had to go into L.A. It was exciting. Oh, was it exciting. I've been on the 405 parking lot at 2 in the morning in a traffic backup. And that's 16 lanes of traffic each direction stopped at 2 in the morning. 30-plus lanes of traffic dead stopped. On the way to the airport. I remember the first time my mom and dad came out and they flew out. My dad says, "You want me to drive?" I said, "Nope." He said, "Why?" I said, "Give me 2 minutes and I'll show you." We came out of the airport and you look up and there's 5 freeways that come together in one circle. And it's stacked one freeway on top of another. And it's 4 lanes of traffic each direction on this thing. He looked at that thing. He said, "What's that?" I said, "We're going up and around through that." He said, "I ain't driving." He kept saying, "I hope you know where you're going. I hope you know where you're going." I said, "I hope I do too. Because it'll be a long time till we get back if we don't." You see, now people can't even go from church to home without turning their GPS on. They got to have it on for security. Hit you right where you live, didn't I? You wouldn't know how to read a map if somebody beat you over the head with it. My dad taught me how to crisscross the country and know whether I was going north, south, east, or west. Odd numbers, north, south. Even numbers, east, west. They start south to north, west to east. Got the one freeway in California, and you end up with the 95 over here. You start with the lower numbers in the south, and move your way up to 94 in the north. It's real simple. Laid out by Eisenhower. Military grid. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Our successes created what this generation has. Let's not get frustrated with them because they don't know how to get up at 4 in the morning and milk cows. Everybody doing okay? There was a success to being able to do that. I agree. But the success of that generation brought forth this next generation and the following generations. And just because they don't know which end of the cow to milk doesn't mean they're unintelligent. Now, they better hope it's a cow. Don't milk them bulls, amen? But we have to understand something. Each generation has been given something by the previous generations that the older generation gets mad at them having because they made it for them. And it doesn't make sense. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun. Number 3. So I said, first of all, don't assume everyone thinks exactly like you do. Number 2, I said, don't realize that how you do some things is not the only way to do it. One of the biggest things my wife and I have discussed in vehicles, she didn't react the way I did when I would. But she wasn't driving. She'd say, "Hush, you're not driving, I am." But if you do it my way, yeah, if I did it, yeah, I just learned to keep my mouth shut. Tried. Didn't always work, but I tried. Everybody doing all right? Just because it wasn't the way I do it doesn't mean it was wrong. Number 3. You can get frustrated. You can get grumpy. So that all you see is the wrong and not the good. I watch people as they get old complain about all the bad and they never talk about the good. Be careful. Everybody doing all right? Solomon, I had all this money. What good was it? Well, maybe if you did good with it, you'd talk about the good you did with it. Instead of complaining about the fact that you're about to die and not taking it with you. Look for the good in people, not the wrong. I know people that if Jesus came back, they would criticize it. As my dad would say, the news media. If President Trump walked on water, they'd criticize him for not knowing how to swim. Now, he's not going to walk on water. I get it. Say, well, I don't always agree with Trump. Who's going to? We didn't ask him to be our pastor. We asked him to be our president. And it's sure a whole lot better than what we got. Nasty Nancy got surgery this week because she fell and broke her hip. I was hoping she'd break her jaw and they'd wire it shut. Maybe we ought to start looking for the good instead of the bad. When I was at the college a couple weeks ago preaching for Brother Fugit, I walked by and there's a display there for Dr. Lee Robertson. There's another display for Dr. Russell Anderson. And I think, I don't remember the number, but I'm pretty sure it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 or 30 million people have been saved by the giving of Russell Anderson. Well, Dr. Anderson was my friend. I was at lunch on Tuesday with Dr. Steve Fisher. My wife and I were eating with him. We got talking about Dr. Anderson. He said, Brother Bush, I have something for you. I said, okay. He said, I have one of Dr. Russell Anderson's hats. He said it was the last one that he wore. It's sitting in my office tonight. He gave it to me. He said, I know how much you loved him. I said, I did. Do I think Russell Anderson was perfect? No. Not at all. But look at all the good that he did. Do I think Russell Anderson was always right? No. I'll never forget the night that he preached three sermons in Aiken Center, in a room about twice the size of this platform, with 60 people packed in there. And you could touch the ceiling. I literally had enough room to put my pulpit in. And if I stood like this, my back was up against the wall. It was almost immoral to have an invitation. He preached two sermons, turns around and says, Brother, I got one more. Is it okay? How are you going to tell the man no? Now, do I think he should have done it? No. Afterwards, he looked at me. I took him back. He said, oh, please don't tell anybody I did that. I can't believe I did that. I said, Doc, it's okay. I'm glad you did it here. Maybe we ought to learn to look for the good, not the bad. I try every day to find something good to say about somebody. I never talk about their bad unless I'm forced to. Did you hear what I said? Brother Anthony, when's the last time you ever heard a preacher come in? And the first thing he said was, this isn't done right. Mrs. Barnes, you worked for me for nearly a dozen years. I'll take 2 days and talk about good things, and then I'll say, you know, maybe next time if we do this, we ought to change it. Let's talk about how to change that. I've spent 2 days building them up just to try to fix something that we won't do wrong the next time. Or we could do better. Say why? Because I believe in people's hard work and sincerity. And I don't want to crush it. Please don't take this too hard. Well, take it too hard. It doesn't take much brains to find out if something didn't work right. You're not God's gift to mankind because you can point out something that is you think is wrong. What's the solution then? How should you have prevented it? One of our young men one time asked me a question about World War II. I love World War II history. They were asking some questions, and they said, Preacher, as you read history, what about this battle? What do you think the most important part of this battle was? And I think I shocked him. I said, the most important thing I've learned is, what could we have done to avoid the war to begin with so we didn't have to win that battle? What could we have done differently to keep us from even entering the war years before that, as we sat on our do-nothing letting Hitler amass an army that he was not supposed to have? We didn't enforce the First World War's penalties. Had we done it, there would be no Adolf Hitler. There would be no Holocaust. Probably would not have been a World War II. And we wouldn't have to answer the question, what did we do in that battle? He said, now that's a whole different way to think about it. I said, that's how you read history. That's how you read truth. Boy, that's good stuff. How about we learn to praise God more than complain to God? I have a rule. I have to praise God about 10 things before I ask him for something that I think I need. Usually in the process of praising, I forget I needed something. Everybody doing all right? Maybe you ought to enjoy past blessings. I know this isn't applied to you, but I have a file in my office that's letters, the actual physically handwritten letters from people over the last 40 years. I've got memos and letters from Brother Hiles and Dr. Evans and others who have influenced my life. People that, matter of fact, I have a couple letters in my office in my file right now from those two people right there from decades ago. Every once in a while, if I'm feeling a little down, I'll pop that file open and start looking at some of these old letters that are starting to yellow. Start reading. Say, I'm ready. Here we go. Let me go back out there. I can take it. Don't force your ideas and ways and opinions on anybody. Listen to this statement. If you have to force it, you're not leading it. I never want to force my staff to do things. You're looking at a man that drives himself pretty hard, but I'm not going to drive them hard. So I think if you have church business to do, don't do it at church with Mrs. Barnes. Call during business hours. Amen. She has the right to be a church member, not just a secretary. By the way, she's my secretary, not yours. Amen. So preacher, I don't like that. Don't care. Everybody doing all right? Just thought I'd throw it out there. If somebody doesn't do something my way, why should I get mad? If Brother Anthony chooses to do things a different way than I do it, as long as it gets done, why should I care? I know people that are so rigid. Okay, we have a lockup system here. I've never walked through it with Brother Anthony and said, this is the exact order, you have to check doors. I know some preachers that if you don't do it in the very order you did it, then you're in trouble. Well, I do it in reverse order just to make them mad. You see, if somebody's not going to listen and they mess up, the reproof of life is going to straighten them out. As my dad would say, if you got a hard head, you're going to have a soft bottom. You get hit in the head hard enough, you're going to land on your backside. Don't get mad and upset about things you have no control over. Folks, everybody look at me. I don't have control over my grandkids. So I spoil them while I got them, send them back, and go, they're the mom and dad. I'm not going to criticize how they rear them. They have to live with them. I get to visit them. I don't have to live with them. Everybody doing all right? Well, they're not doing exactly, they have more stuff now than they had when my kids were kids. Are we doing okay? Maybe we shouldn't get so upset over the way the DMV lines people up. Or the bank. Just blow the bank up. Don't do that, please. I'm just teasing. Maybe we ought not concern ourselves so much about our family that doesn't live within the four walls of our house. Some of you expend so much energy and waste so much life over things you have no control over. You're miserable and sour because you fret and worry and think about things you have no control over. Boy, that's good stuff. The older I get, and the more I deal with people, the more I have to guard my attitude so that I don't get sour with my wisdom, with my experience. Say, why? Because there's no way at 30 he's going to know what I know at 57. No way. Not possible. He can know more at 30 than I knew at 30, that's for sure. Especially if I'm doing my job right. But I don't expect him to think like a 57-year-old pawpaw, amen? But I do want him to go home and spend time with his family and his kids. And told him, don't you show up and work the hours I work. I know pastors. It's a true statement. I know pastors that if their assistant pastors didn't have somebody saved, down the aisle, and baptized every Sunday, they didn't get a paycheck that week. And I'm going to tell you something, that's wicked as hell. Amen. That's wrong. Amen. Show me one place in that book where I'm commanded to have somebody saved. I'm commanded to go out and get the gospel out. I'm not responsible for the results, I'm responsible for the sowing. Everybody doing all right? I believe in results. I believe the more you sow, the more you're going to reap. That's true. But I'm not going to mandate it. God weighs our actions, not our results. Maybe we need to not let our wisdom sour us. As we spend time with family, and everybody's got family, you got that one that you really don't want to spend Christmas with. Y'all know the face? Yeah. Can I tell you something? Maybe we ought not let our wisdom destroy us. Don't let our experience, our knowledge, sour us. As it did Solomon. Every head bowed, every eye closed, undone. A little different approach to life. But it's a biblical one. I wonder, are you allowing what you know, how you know it, what you expect of everybody else to know, to sour you?